Greece says its deficit is still too high and its budget will be cut even more, yet the Greek people are the ones paying the price. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Greek government today announced a proposal to cut 30,000 state workers. That's just a day after the country's finance minister said Greece will not meet its deficit target this year. That's part of Europe's demand in order to loan the country billions of dollars to avoid default. Christos Migalidis is current affairs editor at the Athens daily newspaper Eleftherotypia. Christos, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Is there any surprise that the Greek government says it's going to miss its financial targets?
Well, there's no surprise for anything anymore here in Greece. People have stopped believing anything whatsoever, I must tell you. The government still believes that it is going to get the sixth installment of the loan from the IMF and the European Central Bank. But it's not very likely at the moment. They have announced a new package of austerity measures late last night, and it's quite a heavy package on the backs of people, but still it doesn't seem to be enough.
Now, I know the Vouli has passed a measure that would cut tens of thousands of jobs. How is that going to affect the country?
Right, well, this needs to be voted on by Parliament. The discussion is going to start today, and by the end of the week, we're going to have the final decision. We don't expect any surprises. PASOK, the socialist government, has a majority in Greek Parliament, and we haven't noticed any MPs at the moment who are willing to vote against this notion.
How do Greek citizens look at this dilemma? I mean, obviously, the country could go into default or it could be saved, but on, like you say, the backs of many Greeks.
The Greek people right now are very, very demoralized, not because their money has become less, not because their salaries have been cut by about between 30 up to 50%. They are demoralized, most of them, because they don't see an end to all this. They don't see their government going ahead with other structural measures, and they're only seeing their government cutting the salaries of everyday working simple people. So it's a very sad situation.
Christos Michalidis, who's the political correspondent there in Athens for the Eleftherotypia newspaper. Christos, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Greece's mixed signals are keeping markets down today. Worldwide shares are in negative territory once again. European shares down 2 to 3%, nearly 3% for German shares right now, the DAX. Global air travel lost a little altitude in August. The International Air Transport Association says passenger travel was down more than 1.5%. Fiat says it's going to start building Jeep SUVs by the end of 2013 at one of its factories in Turin, Italy. Fiat owns Chrysler and Jeep. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 240 points to close at 10,913. That's about 2%. The third quarter was the worst for U.S. stock markets since the financial crisis. Markets were down 12% or more. Well, here at home, protests over the inequity between Wall Street and the rest of us continue. Some of the signs held up at rallies in New York read, "Honk if you have student debt." Well, a lot of people have student debt. Student loan debt accounts for $830 billion. A popular online petition fueled by those protests proposes to forgive all student loan debt to boost the American economy. So what do student loans have to do with Wall Street? Here's Marketplace's Gregory Warner.
This is not your mother's student loan. Donna Cooper is a senior fellow with the economic policy team at American Progress, and when she graduated in the 1980s, her student loan was $80 a month.
These days, kids are graduating where their student loan payments are close to $1,000 a month. And the possibility of getting a job where you're going to have that much income beyond what your basic necessities are is very slim.
Wall Street trades in student loan debt just as it does mortgages. And just as that Wall Street capital spurred unsavory lending practices in the housing market, it encouraged private student loan companies to aggressively market to families.
So families might, or parents of kids might, extend themselves further than they would have otherwise because they can get an affordable student loan.
But those private interest rates in this economy turn out not to be so affordable. Defaults jumped 27% this year. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
More than 100,000 prisoners in Florida are no longer able to light up. Leading up to a ban that started last weekend, one of the country's largest prison populations spent months being weaned off of tobacco. Reporter Gina Jordan has more from Tallahassee.
The ban was ordered by former Corrections Secretary Edwin Buss, who banned tobacco as corrections chief in Indiana in the mid-1990s. Going tobacco-free in the prisons will save the state of Florida a lot of money, according to Gretel Plessinger with the prison system.
Last calendar year, we spent almost $9 million on hospital bills for inmates with smoking-related illnesses.
For skeptics who predicted an angry uprising of tobacco-addicted inmates, there have been none so far. As soon as the ban was announced, inmates were able to buy nicotine patches and take classes to help them kick the habit. Plessinger says the inmates may just be trading one habit for another.
What we've seen in other states is that when inmates stop smoking, they buy candy instead.
Florida inmates spent $19 million at the prison canteen last year on tobacco products. Of course, that's just a blip in terms of profit for the tobacco companies. Plessinger says none of those companies have called to complain. In Tallahassee, I'm Gina Jordan for Marketplace.
Finally, there's a new Danish tax on high-fat items in effect now. It's the first tax of its kind, tacking on 15 cents to the price of a cheeseburger. Denmark hopes to increase life expectancy and revenues by $220 million a year. Maybe there's a solution to the European debt crisis after all, and it could start with a Greek cheeseburger. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
If spare parts are rare but natural resources aren't, you adapt.
The customer just brings it here and we make the part here, and then he'll take it and put it back in his car, and the car keeps on working.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the wonders of wood. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the day's business news for you as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.